Weapons and Warriors of the Passion, with Father Lawrence Carney. Today in our Holy Face series, Father discusses what he does first thing in the morning, prayers he recommends associated with this devotion, why St. Michael's name means, who is like God, many saints associated with the Holy Face, and did you know there might be a saint of the 21st century who is a member of the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face.
Praise be, Jesus and Mary. I'm David Rodriguez, Content Director of the Fatima Center, joined once again by Father Lawrence Carney, an author on the Holy Face. He also serves as chaplain for Benedictine nuns out in Kansas, Missouri area. Thank you, Father, for joining us again.
Thank you for having me, Mr. Rodriguez.
So we have been talking in the last few interviews. I hope you've caught these episodes about some very interesting and exciting stuff, including the fact that Father's working on writing a new book, connecting the Sacred Heart Devotion with the Holy Face Devotion, the Immaculate Heart Devotion and Reparation, all things that are very dear to the hearts of devotees of Our Lady of Fatima who follow this channel. So thank you for all those insights, Father. Hopefully we can dive down a little deeper today.
Deo gracias. Yes.
Just as a quick announcement, again, you are the founder of the League of St. Martin, which is dedicated to this devotion of the Holy Face. If someone is enrolled in the Confraternity of the Holy Rosary, which you strongly recommend, and also if they're enrolled in the Confraternity, the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face, based out of Tours in France, should such people still contact you to be enrolled in the League of St. Martin? That was actually a question we got from one of the persons who's seen some of the previous videos.
Yes, so I want to make a disclaimer. No one has to join the League of St. Martin, obviously, to enroll in the Confraternity of the Rosary, because that's under the auspices of the Dominicans. We're just promoting it for people to enroll. And then the same thing is true to enroll in the Archconfraternity of the Holy Face or confraternities of the Holy Face, like there's one in Dallas, there's one in Detroit. You don't have to even contact us. You can just go directly to them. But we're like coaches, and we're just happy to promote this. And we got a lot of prayer warriors that are mystically praying so that people will look at this devotion, and then providence things happens, and then they get fired up and want to join it. And so people can contact us if they want to follow the certain ways that we stress these devotions. And to meet monthly, that's one of the key things, is if people can't meet monthly, we help people find each other. So we're like matchmakers in a way. And then as a priest, anybody that joins the League of St. Martin, I include all the people in the memento every day. So I remember the League of St. Martin. And then I pray a decade of the Rosary. I can't promise that for life, but I'm doing that right now every day. One decade of the Rosary for every member of the League of St. Martin. And so God can use my priesthood to help promote, to coach these devotions to the Rosary and the devotion to the Holy Face.
You're right about how divine providence is always at work. I was doing some talks, and then these videos came out, and some of the people I've been talking to contacted me and said, thank you so much. When you and Father Carney began talking about the devotion to the Holy Face, we felt very drawn to it. And so we're signing ourselves up. It's always great to hear those kinds of things.
Yeah, it's just priests are in cells, you know. We're not in management, so... There's a priest who used to preach that. It makes me laugh too. We're just in cells, and it's beautiful to hear people that are fired up after listening to us, because that's my job, and lay people can help us priests too, like you are. So it's just wonderful.
And so for people who are getting more interested in this devotion of the Holy Face or starting to practice it, are there other prayers or devotions connected to the holy faith that you frequently pray. Besides, I think maybe the two best known are the Golden Arrow Prayer and then also the Holy Face Chaplet, which we've prayed already, and you can find it on our channel. Other prayers that might be some of your favorites that you recommend, Father?
Sure. So I daily do the prayer that each member of the Arch Confraternity or Confraternity needs to pray. And so I get out of bed and I kneel down and I say, O Lord, show us thy face and we shall be saved. And then I say, in our Father, Hail Mary, and glory be. And I pray for all the members of the Arch Confraternity of the Holy Face. So that's a beautiful one. And St. Alphonsus Liguori, doctor of the church, he recommends when people wake up, the first thing they should do is get on their knees and consecrate their whole day to God so the devil has zero of it. So that's one that's very powerful for me. And I know that St. Therese of Lisieux and St. Louis Martin and even, well, there's someone I can't mention right now. There's a lot of news going on in Missouri, but this person was a member of the Arch Confraternity. So there's a lot of people that have a lot of beautiful backgrounds that were connected. And then I like the novena to the Holy Face. And usually clients of the devotion start praying it 9 days before Shrove Tuesday, the day before Ash Wednesday. I just love the way that these prayers are written. I often say it's these really gritty French priests in the 1840s were writing these prayers when Christendom was wavering because it was right after the French Revolution, and these priests were just beautiful. And there's one line in there where it's Jesus in front of the praetorium, in front of Pilate, and there was this dialogue going on between the high priest and the priest and Pilate. The high priests were just putting in this vileness, accusing Jesus of things that he didn't do. There was silence. And then it says, nobody stood up. There were hundreds of people that no one stood up for Jesus. Well, I said, I want to do that now. And that's what we do. The litanies, there's two of them. One is scriptural and one of them is from Sister Mary St. Peter. I just love the one-liners because sometimes I can just meditate on one or two lines for a holy hour. Like his face is like the sun, you know, that reminds me of the transfiguration. What did that look like? Why was Peter so happy to be there that he wanted just to stay there? Well, we have to get down from Tabor and start working because we're still in the church militant. So there's a long devotion for the rosary. There's a shorter form. There's also Stations of the Cross. And then inside all that, there's all these saints and blesseds and pious that have written prayers that are directed towards the Holy Face. So I just read the manual from front to back and just do that. And there it is again.
Yeah, one of my favorite devotions, Father. And it's actually what attracted me to the Holy Face devotion initially. Well, there were a couple of things. One was just that I would assist at Mass at a Carmel in Dallas. Not sure if you've been there.
Yes.
But the nuns there are very dedicated to the Holy Face. And so you walk into their beautiful chapel, which is where I was falling in love with the Latin Mass many years ago. And they have a big image of the Holy Face there, the Veil of Veronica. And I don't know if I'd ever really seen it before then. Not in my sort of like recollection. That's kind of when I became conscious of it. You know, started asking questions why it was there. And then another one was just that priests that I'm very close to have started this devotion to the Holy Face, and they do it every Thursday after Mass, and they'll pray the Litany to the Holy Face. And so it was hearing the priests pray that Litany to the Holy Face, and as you're saying, a lot of those one-liners, that you can just capture your imagination. I can get lost on one of these lines while the priest continues with the Litany, and I kind of get stayed back with how the angels are being ravished, or Our Lady and St. Joseph by his, you know, just the infant face, and things of that sort. So I really do love one of those litanies to the Holy Face that I'm very, really kind of got me started on this devotion, of course, through the intercession of priests and the grace of God. But you also mentioned that there were saints that were promoting this, some of these prayers. And one of the things I really did like about your book, maybe it's because by then you've been through a lot of the headier stuff and the sort of the more meatier things. And he just started going through kind of like bullet after bullet, just bam, 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 of different saints. Yeah. That are you could say, connected to the Holy Face. So I just thought perhaps you could mention a few of those saints and how they're connected to the Holy Face, your favorites or whatever we have time for here.
Yeah, St. Michael the Archangel, he's the head honcho here. His very name, Michael, means who is like unto God. And it's just, he had so much generosity when he saw the evil vileness of the angels that became serpents instantly. If you read The Mythical City of God by Venerable of Agreda, they just became dragons. And he was the one that was hurling them out. And then he has St. Dismas.
Father, if I can just ask you one question, because this is something that I just heard a couple weeks ago, if I can get your take on it. So I named my son Michael. I have a brother who is Father Michael Rodriguez. Love that name. I think it's one of the great names. And of course, Quis ut Deus in Latin. And so I always thought of it as, you know, like Lucifer's challenging God and Michael sort of like trying to tell him, like, who do you think you are? Who is like God? All right. That's kind of how I always understood it. I forget where I heard this. I'm not sure if it was in a talk or Father Maudsley's book or where. You know, you get a lot of different sources. But someone made the comment that actually what St. Michael is doing is he was basically pointing to the eternal idea. It goes back to even this concept that from the very beginning, God has the plan that his eternal son will become incarnate. And therefore also he's going to have a mother. And then when that plan is revealed to Satan, Satan rebels. He has that great hatred towards Mary, and he doesn't, you know, he wants pridefully that. And so what St. Michael was actually doing when he said, Quis ut Deus, who is like unto God, he was pointing to the human nature of the incarnate Logos, to Christ's human nature, and he was pointing to our Blessed Mother, basically saying it's the incarnate nature of Christ that is like a God. It is the Immaculate Conception, the Blessed Virgin Mary, that is like God, and you, Lucifer, are not that. Take your place. And I had never gotten that connection between Michael's name and, let's say, pointing out the incarnation, the mystery of the incarnation, and the mystery of our Blessed Mother. Have you heard of that, though?
Yeah, there's so many private revelations to point to what you just said. And specifically, the devils said that, wait a minute, we're the angelic creature here. We're higher than humans. God, how can you make a divine person become connected to the human nature of humanity? That's wrong. We're higher. So that was the main thing, is the pride. They couldn't see that there would be a mother of the human race who would be the mother of God also. So that was their big fault. And so St. Michael's saying, wait a minute, God can make up his divine providence. He can make up his divine economy. Who are you to say that he can't do that? It's so beautiful. And it makes this veil of tears so much more peaceful to know that there's a big prize if we persevere and become children of the kingdom of God. We're going to share in the divine nature of God. And the angels are just at awe. They're at awe. The ones that got it are humble, and they're like, this is amazing that you human beings are going to be able to do that. How generous of a God we have. And to be born into humanity, to be created, to be in existence, we should be so pleasing because God is who is. I am who am. We have being. So there's so much here. I'll stop right there.
Definitely. Praise God for his greatness. And I'm sorry, I kind of interrupted you. You were about to start telling us about St. Dismas. I used to go to a little chapel. It was called St. Dismas. So I have a fond devotion to him as well. But please do continue with these other great saints of the Holy Face, because people don't usually connect St. Dismas with the Holy Face, I don't think.
Yes, St. Dismas, he made reparation because the bad thief was blaspheming. And everyone else was blaspheming around him. And St. Dismas had greater faith than some of the patriarchs, according to St. John Chrysostom, because he could see God without his glory. He saw Jesus Christ bleeding and dying on a cross, but he had the faith to say, remember me in your kingdom. We are paying for what we did, he said to the other thief. So he was a man of justice, and he was promised paradise that day. What a beautiful message. And then St. Veronica, of course, the true icon, we know all about her. She just broke through the mob and console the face of Jesus. St. Jude, he was mistaken for the traitor apostle because Jude and Judas are so similar. So he would carry a coin of the face of Jesus so that he wouldn't have to explain himself every time that he met somebody, because the scriptures weren't written yet. People hadn't read about Judas and what really happened. So there's oral tradition going on. And then the great St. Martin of Tours, he's the one that's brought people to Tours, where this devotion in the latter times has come to stress how important it is to make reparation. So he's one of the three patrons of the Holy Face of Jesus. And then, oh, there's St. Veronica of Giuliani. She's this Franciscan from, like, I think the 16th or 17th century. But she would be put into hell about 8 or 9 times when she was asleep. And she would see people falling into hell like rain. So it reminds me of Our Lady Fatima, where she told the children that people are falling into hell, I think, like snowflakes. Mm-hmm. And so she did lots of reparation. She endured some of the pain of the Passion, and she promised that the instruments of the Passion would be written, sketched on her heart after she died. So after she died, the bishop allowed someone to go and look at her heart, and there was inscribed the nails and the crown of thorns, wow, the sponge. Wow. And so this saint was told to me by a priest who's a priest in the fraternity in Northwest Arkansas. And I just saw the story, was amazed. I included it in the book right away because this is definitely an apostle of the Holy Face, because this devotion stresses so much those instruments that were used to torture Jesus and how we got to use them to make good in this kingdom. And then when I became a priest, when I was 6 years old, I got my call to be a priest from Our Lady of Perpetual Help. And guess what? The angels are carrying the instruments of the Passion. Right. So that's how I became a priest. So it fulfills. There's so many neat things. I just hope people are listening that they're just like, okay, I'm not going to delay anymore. I'm going to join this movement, because it's just, you might as well get in now before it's just too big, because then you can tell people that don't know yet and you'll get credit for promoting that, because that's one of the 6 promise, or one of the 9 promises. For those who promote it, they will get many rewards. So St. Veronica of Giuliani, pray for us. And one I've never mentioned is Archbishop Napoleon Joseph Hirsch. He was, I think, the 3rd Archbishop of New Orleans. Oh, and he wrote a pastoral letter in French in the latter part of the 1800s. And he was the first one to bring the Confraternity of the Holy Face to the New World. It's very interesting that that confraternity is no longer active. So I've been talking to people in New Orleans to try to make that active again, because that would be a nice one to get on our flagship, you know, here in the United States of America, to get that one going again. So he was a bishop from France who became a bishop in New Orleans, which was a French-speaking colony at the time. Or maybe, well, anyways, I don't have my history right, but he was definitely a French speaker and a bishop, the archbishop there. So I'll stop for a minute.
When you were talking about the instruments of the Passion, I thought to myself, basically any saint that we associate with Calvary. So, for example, there's St. Longinus, because he's got the spear. There would be St. Joseph of Arimathea, Nicodemus, who take our Lord down and put him in the tomb. And even the ones that are at the foot of the altar, like St. John as an apostle, or St. Mary Magdalene. I thought of them in particular, because oftentimes one of my favorite prayers, and I'll pray it always when I receive Holy Communion afterwards, is the Anima Christi by St. Ignatius of Loyola. And I like to think of some of these saints as I go through it. So when I think of Passion of Christ strengthen me, I think of St. Simon of Cyrene helping our Lord carry the cross. And I kind of picture him, and I'm kind of invoking him. There's another one that's connected to the instruments of the Passion, right? Oh, good Jesus, hear me. I think of St. Dismas, asking him to remember him, hear my voice as I ask you to remember me. Separated from thee, let me never be. I often think of Mary Magdalene wrapped around the cross, that she doesn't want to let our Lord go. And of course, she wants to touch him after the resurrection. So I connect a number of St. Thomas, you know, within thy wounds, hide me. Obviously, I connect him with the pierced side of our Lord. So there's different saints that I kind of will think about and invoke briefly while I pray that Anima Christi. And I guess all of these are going to be connected with the Passion and therefore also saints of the Holy Face, right?
Exactly. I think that's a whole new book right there that someone can write. I don't think I'm going to write that one, but I think someone should. Because you connected St. Thomas. He put his hand in the wound. Well, there's a mass at the five wounds of Jesus. So one of those wounds, you know, you would definitely think is St. Thomas. There's a lot of these saints during the Passion, like you said, that I didn't have room to do that. Because then there's a group of saints, blesseds, venerables, and just holy people that haven't even gone through the process that have received this devotion as an archconfraternity, and they're promoting it. So there's that class of people too in the latter times. So there's a book that could have the saints at the foot of the cross. There's a book that could talk about the saints between then and then when this devotion had its kind of archconfraternity existence in the 1840s and 1880s. So that would be a volume right there, I think.
Well, we certainly have a lot of saints to invoke with this devotion as we offer our reparation. Thank you so much for all these insights, Father. Unfortunately, once again, we've run out of time, but I'm sure we'll invite you again as you reflect on some of these other things and write those articles and write those books. But if you would please do us the honor and the kindness of closing us in prayer.
Sure. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, amen. Eternal Father, we offer thee the holy face of Jesus, covered with blood, sweat, dust, and spittle, in reparation for the crimes of communists, blasphemers, and for the profaners of the holy name and of the holy day of Sunday. Amen.
Amen.
Benedictio de omnipotentis, patris et filii, spiritus sanctus, super vos et maniat semper. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Father. May God reward you. May Our Lady keep you safe, as well as all our viewers.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez.
This presentation has been brought to you by the Fatima Center. Copyright 2023, all rights reserved. Please spread this devotion to others. Our Lord has promised it will be a means to defeat communism and enemies of the Church. For more Catholic resources, and to support this vital apostolate with a donation, please visit our website, fatima.org, or call us at 1-800-263-8160. Every donation is appreciated and needed.
May thy name, O Lord, be known and blessed at all times and in all places.